Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. If you are a visitor with us, we are glad that you're here. Am I too loud? Yeah, I think if we had dogs around, they'd be howling at the... welcome to worship. If you are a visitor with us, we are glad that you're here. If you'd like to know more about us, you can find us on Facebook, and you can also find us on the web, and the address is on the bulletin. Also, if you would take a minute, there are cards in the front of your pews that let us know who you are and that you're visiting with us today, and we'd love to have you fill those out, and especially if you have any prayer requests to bring before us this morning, we would love to have those and be able to cover those. Couple of quick announcements. There is caroling on Wednesday, and I think I heard Jean say something about carrying an umbrella. It'll be warm. So, yeah, just come and sing and bring an umbrella. And so you're meeting here? At the Village Ministry Center. And so bring anybody that loves the Christmas carols and the Christmas songs. And I'd like to let you know that if you're looking for, I've had a couple of people say, well, these aren't our Christmas hymns. We haven't heard our Christmas hymns yet. Christmas formally begins for us on Christmas Day. So Christmas Eve is all carols and scripture. So if you would like to join us on Christmas Eve, I can guarantee you that by Christmas Eve and the Sunday after Christmas, you will hear every single Christmas song that we have in the hymnal, just about. And so we're starting with one today that I'm told that we don't know. So you'll have to bear with me on that one. I guess that's what you get for being an Episcopalian first. Yeah, learn some of those other ones that are less popular. There is a spring mission trip, and so we're still looking for folks who'd like to join the folks to go to Texas in the spring. You can talk with Dick Miller if you're interested in that. And also, a special blessing for us this morning. There is a couple of extra seats in front. If y'all want to move forward, you can. There's, some front row seats. But also, we are grateful to have Denny with us today. It is amazing and a miracle. And Cheryl's asked for me to read a thank you from them. And it says that we would like to thank everyone and the entire church family for all the cards and the prayers and support for us during Dennis's hospitalization and rehab. The church and the community support has been overwhelming. God has definitely been with us during this time. God is good all the time. Amen. Are there any other announcements that we have?
Hi. As PPR chair, this is my favorite part of the year. We get to say thank you to those people that help us out. So I'd like to recognize Linda Holden, and I mean, we are blessed, truly, to have such a really gifted organist with us, and our annual thank you gift just doesn't say enough, but it makes sure that I see her for the next 15 weeks while I still work.
Did you like the microphone?
Well, actually, I could let you do this part. I'd also like to go ahead and, from the preschool, we have a thank you gift to add to the children's library, so we're going to leave that up here. But we also get to recognize our brand new pastor, and I think that we've all felt that she's really, really been a great addition, and what could have been a really rough transition. But she's been wonderful and gracious and really jumped in with both feet, and I want to say thank you for making my job easier, and thank you for... just really, really wanting to meld into the community. So thank you so much. Merry Christmas.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for everything. I really appreciate it. And I'd like to say thank you to everyone for making my transition very easy, very smooth, and accepting me. And it's been a blessing to serve you. Marianne?
Well, Just want to make the announcement that two Sundays, 2 weeks from now, we will have a joint men's and women's group breakfast at 8 o'clock in the morning. And Bob's shaking his head, yes, back there. And we will have a program. So it'll be held for the month of January. UMW does not meet on Wednesday, but we'll be meeting with the men 2 weeks from this Sunday at 8 o'clock.
Great. Thank you. Are there any other announcements from the floor? There being none, let's prepare our hearts for worship. Will you stand? Mighty and powerful God, we give you thanks and praise for this day. Our hearts almost leap with inside of us as we wait in anticipation for the coming of your Son. We know, gracious God, that you are with us. You've told us when we gather together that you are present. And so we are aware that we're not alone, that it's not just us, but we are joined with all of the angels in heaven and your heavenly chorus and your Holy Spirit that's in us, in each one of us, and lives amongst us. Be with us as we worship. Quiet our hearts amid this busy season as we have things to do and places to go and promises we've made that we might just remember you for this hour and for this time. All honor and glory is yours, O Heavenly Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Will you join me in the call to worship? The time is coming.
We have been waiting and preparing.
The time is now. Do you see it?
People are healed. Creation needs restoration. The world is turned upside down.
God with us calls us to see and to act.
We have gathered to listen, to be transformed, to live into God's beloved community.
Let us join together in the presence of the one who makes this so.
Let us worship
the God who is with us always. Amen. You may be seated.
That she would conceive the child in her womb and would call him Jesus, Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Luke 1:38. And Mary sings her praise song of praise. "My soul magnifies the Lord. He has scattered the proud. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones. He has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry. He has provided for the poor." Luke 1:46-55.
We marvel at Mary, the mother of the Messiah, herself a single teenage mother, herself poor and powerless. But she understood that the baby she would call Jesus was sent not just to her, but to the world, to the hungry, to the weak, to the very young and the very old, to those who suffer or are in pain. We light this fourth candle to remember Mary, the mother of Jesus. May the light of this candle also remind us that the light of Jesus shines for everyone.
I invite you to sing our opening song. There's a song in the air, and it is number 249. As we wait, there is anticipation in the air and tension grows. May we ease the tension by sharing the peace of Christ. You may turn and greet your neighbor with the peace of Christ. We have a special treat from the children today, and so I'll ask them to come forward as we sing. Jesus. Morning. How many of you guys are waiting for Christmas? Oh, that is really sad. I don't know about you, but I'm really waiting for Christmas, huh? I can't wait. I think that's an exciting time. And I want to read to you a little bit from the Bible. This is from Luke, and he tells us a little bit about what happened before Jesus was born. And he says, Mary, the mother of Jesus, goes and visits Elizabeth, and she says, a few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth, her child, leaped within her, and she was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you among all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed, and you believe that the Lord would do what he said he would do. Well, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about how sometimes, you know, we look at Christmas, and I thought, I have this great Christmas present, and it's so beautiful, and it's so gorgeous, and I'm going to put that under the tree, and it's just, you know, if you saw that, if that was under your tree along with all of the other gifts, would that be the first one you'd go to open? No, why not? It's kind of a plain package, isn't it? There used to be a song, maybe you guys will see it. I think maybe it's tomorrow night, is The Sound of Music. And it says, there's a song that says, these are a few of my brown paper packages tied up in string. These are a few of my favorite things. But maybe not so much when there's lots of things with big bows and colorful paper. Well, the Bible tells us that the best gift in all the world didn't come in bows and ribbons. It didn't come in packages or bags. It didn't come under a tree. It came in a manger. Do you know what it is? What was the best gift that God ever gave to the world? Yeah. Jesus, yeah. And so sometimes things in packages, the package doesn't really reflect about what's inside. And so we are so grateful that God gave us this wonderful, wonderful gift. And he didn't make him a king. He didn't come in splendor. He wasn't wrapped in gold. He didn't have a crown on his head that you could see, but was a beautiful, beautiful baby in a manger that changed us and changed the world. And we are so grateful for that. Now you guys have a song for us and something you'd like to do for the rest of us. And that's a great gift that you can give to the rest of us. Come up here.
dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtails ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to laugh and sing a sleighing song tonight. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in the one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in the one-horse open sleigh. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtails ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to laugh and sing a sleighing song tonight. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in the one-horse open sleigh.
Thank you, guys. I think what I'll do is maybe I can send the... Are you guys going? You're going to stay here. So would you help me pass those out? And everybody gets... How many?
Two.
Two, right. One for you and one to give to somebody else. What, a sucker, honey? Go ahead and start passing them out. And as soon as you get your suckers, you can go back to your seat. And while their kids are doing that, I've asked Emma if she would help me gather our joys and concerns this morning. So if you would come and help me out with that. While the kids are finishing up, do we have joys and praises and concerns to lift up? Your mom? You can go back to your seats.
One of the things about the dinner theater that I always screw up is the thank yous. Either I don't write them down, or I write them down like I did this year and leave them on the pew when I go to stand up. So I have, you know, a lot of people help. Linda Bear made pies. Hannah, Liv, and Taylor came back as alumni and did whatever we told them to do, which was awesome. Margaret Miller made some cake for us, the chocolate sheet cake. Brad and Jeff did the sound. Brad's always been there for me, getting all the mics around, and that's a big job. And he also is my support when there's a bad practice, and we kind of look at each other and say, oh, remember when they did this years ago and it still turned out. Susie is my right-hand man in the kitchen, and Shell and Steve came and helped clean up. There were parents, you know, all the parents come in and they get the dirty job, the thankless jobs where people aren't coming up to say them and saying, oh, you know, great cleaning up, what a great cleanup with the dinner or serving. Yeah. So a lot of people helped, and I really thank them for that and hope that this church appreciates all the help that I get, I know, and everybody else. Thank you.
Today is my Aunt Anne's birthday.
I got a couple of things. For one, Phil's birthday was Friday. And Tuesday's is Matthew's. Matthew will be 8 Tuesday. Okay, and I also just want to say how blessed we are to have the Bible class at school on, you know, how much we are letting our kids know. And for the ones that don't get to go, we're hoping that our kids will pass it on to the others to share, to show what they have learned and everything. So, yeah. Yeah. My birthday is tomorrow.
Well, Marie already has mentioned the birthdays, but I have had a bad rotator cuff for about the last 2 years, and the doctor gave me some exercises. When I saw him in September, he said it should have gotten better. He wanted me to do physical therapy, and since then it has improved a lot. So I'm speaking too early, but it's really improved quite a bit. And I'll add to that two things. My birthday was Friday. I turned 70, which I guess makes the fact that I'm improving a lot better. And also, Marie... right, 70 is the new 30. And also, Marie's sister in Columbus has a birthday on, I believe it's Saturday. Oh, no, it's Christmas Day, I think.
Dave?
I would like to wish a happy heavenly birthday to our dear friend Susie Baxa.
Yeah. Steve.
I probably should have said this in announcements, but I just think that I want to thank all the ushers for this year. And I think that they've done a wonderful job for the church and everything. And it's really been a blessing to have everybody here at our church helping out with that. And we've got, I just posted the one on the board for next year, and next week I should have each individual's made up for them. So thanks again for all the ushers.
Absolutely, thank you.
Lene wanted me to lift up a coworker. Her husband had a stroke last night.
I'd like to thank everybody for all their cards, thoughts, and prayers in my recent stay in the hospital, and I'm glad to be here.
Amen.
I just wanted to acknowledge all of the wonderful elves that created a nice Christmas for a family that didn't look like they were going to have a whole lot. Thank you very, very much. There's a lot of nice packages out there. We know there are still people hurting, and if you have some extra you haven't found a home for, we can put it down there in the food pantry. And thank you very, very much.
Thank you. All Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly and gracious God, we are so grateful of the praises that we have to lift up. The blessings we know and acknowledge, Lord, come from you. Every good gift comes from the Father of lights, James tells us, and comes from above. It comes from you. And the greatest gifts of all, Lord, is our friendships with each other, our relationships, and our relationship with you. Lord, I am mindful that I forgot to pray with the children, and so I thank you for the children. I thank you for their lives. I thank you for their dedication. And I thank you for their love for you. I pray, Lord, that you walk with them and that you continue to increase in them their wisdom and their knowledge of you and their passion for you, that they may just seek your face in whatever they do. And we pray and give you thanks, Lord, for birthdays and celebrations, especially this time of year, Lord. And we thank you for the healings that have been truly a sign of your goodness and your love and your compassion. For those of us, Lord, who are undeserving, you come to us and you redeem us, Lord, and restore us. We give you thanks for that. We are mindful and aware, O gracious God, in the midst of our joys, there are still concerns out there. We pray, Lord, continually. We remember, Lord, Dean Brainstrader and his family, for his daughter, and that they may just know your peace while they are away, while they're in Florida, Lord, and that they would have safe travels as they come back here this week, especially during the holiday seasons, and for all who travel. Lord, we lift up Madge, too, and we just know, Lord, that you've been with her and that you have comforted her in this process, Lord, as she waits to join you and all the angels and all the saints in heaven. We are praying, and our hearts are heavy for Don and the family. So be with them, O gracious God, and all those who mourn and grieve, all those for whom sorrow has enveloped this season, all those who struggle as a first-year anniversary of the passing of loved ones. Lord, we know that we profess our belief in eternal life, and yet it's so hard for us. So we thank you for your Son, Jesus, that came to us that we may be the people you created us to be, and that we may have eternal life. We pray, O Lord, for this world, this crazy, crazy world that we live in, and all of the things going on around us, all of the wars and the violence and the natural disasters, and everything seems flipped upside down. We know, Lord, it's in your hands. We pray, Lord, that you would just quiet our hearts for just this time to be with you. Gracious God, we are mindful of poverty, the poverty that surrounds us, not only the poverty around the world, but the poverty of spirit. We pray for those who don't know you, for those who struggle against all of their own issues, not knowing that you have redeemed them and love them and care for them. Open eyes, open hearts, Lord, for all those who struggle and kick against the goads. We pray for those who wrestle with addictions this morning and diseases born of poverty. As we join together praying for your kingdom, Lord, as we pray the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Sometimes we get confused in the seasons. We watch Charlie Brown. We may see the Grinch that stole Christmas. We look at Christmas cards, and we may be confused in the accuracy of how we remember the scriptures. And so I have a short video clip for us that's a kind of humorous way to put things into perspective.
December night, over 2,000 years ago, a shining star illuminated a gathering of kings, shepherds, angels, and animals round a baby in a stable. 'Twas the Nativity, and it marked the end of a journey that began on a donkey's back.
Whoa, hold up there, Jeeves.
Yeah, I beg your pardon?
Your Nativity. That's not exactly how it happened. Here, look, let's start with that donkey. Neither of the gospel stories mentions Mary traveling by donkey. And given the 60 miles of rough terrain they traveled, it's more likely they used a wagon.
Minor details. But then the innkeeper informs them there's no room...
Again, the Bible doesn't actually mention an innkeeper. And in the Greek, the word inn refers to an upper room in a house, not an actual motel.
Oh, blast. Look, wherever it was, there was no room. So, Mary and Joseph were sent to the stable.
No stable.
Not in the Bible either.
Now you're catching on. And in those days, most animals were typically kept in a cave.
A cave?
Yuppers. So it could have been that instead of a stable, the Bible doesn't really say.
And the Star of Bethlehem?
Duh, that's biblical.
Well, we're actually right for once. It's a Christmas miracle. Okay, so now came the shepherds and the three kings.
No kings. Three kings is from the song. The Bible says magi, which means wise men.
Three wise men? That works.
Well, not so fast. While the Bible does mention three gifts, it doesn't specify the number of wise men that brought them.
You mean there could have been more?
Oh, yeah. A whole posse, even.
With a crowd like that, it's a miracle the baby Jesus never cried.
What, no crying he makes? That's just a lyric from Away in a Manger, not actual scripture.
Well, of course he was crying. You just added a whole crowd of strange men.
Yes and no. There may have been many wise men, but they weren't there that night, you see?
Okay, that's enough. Except for the bloomin' Star of Bethlehem, you've just dismantled the most inspiring image of Christian tradition. So what's your point?
Point? Well, I guess it's this. Even when all of the man-made traditions are stripped away, the eternal truths still remain. Whether they traveled by donkey or wagon, God brought them safely to the birthplace that was prophesied. Whether born in a stable or a cave, God provided shelter in a strange new land. Whether there were three kings, three wise men, or many, God called the elect to bear witness and testimony to the birth of Emmanuel. So whether your manger looks like this or like this, the one thing that remains unchanged is this. A baby boy, born of a virgin, this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
Bless you, sir. I'll never look at the miracle of December 25th the same way again.
December 25th? Oh, I almost forgot.
Stop that. Music!
It's a funny way to remind us that we have many, many traditions that may not be very biblical, but that the story is true and we can count on it. And God has given to us his greatest gift, born into a manger. We give back to God what is already his. If I may have the ushers come forward for a gathering of our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
as you're able. Praise God from all that we are and all that we have comes from you, God of promise and grace. We now return to you a portion of what we have been given to help build a community where we live in peace and justice restored, and all people have what they need. Help us to offer our very selves as agents of your transforming love. Use these gifts and resources that we may turn the world upside down. Amen. You may be seated. The gospel reading comes to us from Luke today. It's verses 46 through 55 in chapter 1. Mary responded, "Oh, my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on all generations shall call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and the haughty ones. He brings down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful, for he has made the promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his children forever." This is the word of God for the people of God. I don't know how to follow that. Then we may be able just to say, that's all. Our continued New Testament reading comes from James chapter 5, verses 7 through 10. Dear brothers and sisters, James writes, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. Don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. For look to the judge who is standing at the door. For examples of patience and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, look to the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. This is the reading. May God add his blessing to the reading of the word. Amen. And we have another hymn, the First Noel.
Thank you.
may be seated. Heavenly gracious God, we pray that your words may be a blessing to us, that we may be transformed by the hearing of your words. We pray it in Jesus' name. Before I forget, in lieu of time, I think for the final hymn, Linda, we'll just do two verses, even though that's one of my favorites. First and last. There is an old saying that good things come to those who wait. And occasionally I've had an opportunity to reflect on that myself. If you know me, you know that I love everything technological. Any new gadget that comes out, like I really, really am loving the Amazon thing called the, I think it's called the Echo, that it'll tell you, say, you know, okay, tell me what I have to do today. And it'll tell you your schedule. It'll tell you the weather. It'll tell you if Green Bay won or lost. We'll pray for you, sister. It'll tell you just about anything you want to know. And then they have these new glasses. Samsung has these new glasses called Oculus. And you put them on, and you put your phone in them. And you can watch, like, Netflix and 3D and play games. And, you know, it just seems like there's so many cool things that are coming out. And I love a good deal. So, you know, it's like, if you know, they've come out with these great phones, the smartphones, and if you would just sign a one-year contract, you can get, like, a $400 phone for, like, a buck, which is, like, the best deal ever, except that the minute you walk out of the store, they've already produced another phone, a newer, smarter phone, and you have to wait 2 years before you can get it. You know, and sometimes I know that that's kind of ridiculous. I have had mine for over a year and a half, and I still don't know everything that it will do. And sometimes it does more things than I know that it's doing. The interesting thing is that the writer of James used the Old Testament prophets as an example of patience. He says, brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take a look at the prophets that has spoke in the name of the Lord. And surely one of the prophets that he was talking about was Isaiah. And he quotes Isaiah. He goes to him and he quotes this scripture that says, the deserts and the parched lands will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear, your God will come. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and in the desert there will be streams. The burning sand will become a pool, and the thirsty ground bubbling springs. And there will be a highway. It will be called the way of holiness. For it will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go on about it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return. The land will be completely restored and transformed in the Garden of Eden. The soil will be filled with rich nourishments, and vegetation will bloom everywhere. And it will seem to break forth in shouts of joy. Even those who are weak and fearful can take heart in this glorious future in anticipation, says Isaiah. The disabled are healed and restored to health. The blind will see and the deaf will hear. Water, one of the most scarce commodities in the desert region, will flow and bubble up in a ground that lacked for rain. And as I read through this description, through this description in this prophecy, I thought, man, couldn't we use just a little bit of that? We worry about our global environment. We worry about the problems that we have, the lack of renewable water, noise and light and sound pollution. Whether we believe in global warming or not, it's clear that things are changing, the climate changes, and it will all have an effect on us, now more than ever. As we turn on the TV or watch the news, we are confronted with enemies that we have never known and have no idea of how to deal with. Thieves break into our homes and our businesses, our schools and our government buildings and our public libraries are not as safe as we'd like them to be. And who doesn't long for Isaiah's vision to come true? In Isaiah's day, traveling along the roads were dangerous. There were animals along the way. Thieves lay in wait, and there were perils. Steep cliffs, narrow roads, deep valleys. But Isaiah says that when the Messiah comes, the highway of the holiness will be perfectly safe. There will be no wicked people or wild animals to endanger the life of the traveler. In short, the kingdom of God is coming to earth, says the prophet Isaiah. And when it does, the earth will be perfect. It will be a perfect utopia. In its magnificence, it will be a perfect picture of the world. And here is what we need to see. Christmas is about the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. Christmas is about God's redemptive act of salvation. Christmas isn't about having a house so lit up that you can see it from a satellite, from space, or about giving or receiving the biggest and best gift or that money could buy. It isn't about eating succulent ham or turkey or corn pudding, but I do love me some corn pudding. I don't know, that's my favorite. It isn't about spending time with family, as precious as that may be. It isn't even about celebrating an infant's birth in a manger. Did you hear that? It isn't even just about celebrating an infant's birth in a manger. Christmas is about the fulfillment of God's redemptive plan of salvation. God has a plan for the world, and it extends from creation to the cross, from the empty tomb to eternity. God is at work bringing in a perfect world where people will live in harmony and dignity as beloved children of God. A world in which the broken will be made whole, a world of peace, a world of joy, a world of love. Sure, the baby in the manger is an important part of the plan. And it is right and good that we celebrate that and that we lift it up and we celebrate his birth. But Christmas is just a part of the whole Christ event. It is not only about the coming of Christ, but it's also about the coming of God's kingdom in God's world as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords forever and ever. Amen. Maybe you've heard about the scientific experiment they did called Biosphere. And it was, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago. And they made a dome, and they put people in it. And their idea was they'd live in there for 24 months, perfectly sealed off from the rest of the world. I think maybe that's where Stephen King got his idea, for Under the Dome. And we know how badly that turned out. Well, they were supposed to live there for 24 months, but it only lasted about a month and a half. In a month and a half, things began to fall apart. People started to argue. There was tension in there. There were the resources. I believe they had to either pump in water or air or something. So it seems that in our human state, we're unable to live into God's idea of peace and harmony. Or maybe, I talk about this movie all the time. I think I talked about to the young people about it. Maybe you saw the movie Crash. And before you go out and watch it, let me warn you that while it is one of the most fantastically theological movies of our time involving racism, its language is so vulgar that you can barely get through it. It's almost unwatchable. So that's just a forward. So young people, probably not a good idea. But it's a story. It's a story about a Middle Eastern carryout owner who is continually being robbed. A Hispanic blacksmith that the shop owner holds responsible for not installing the locks correctly, even though he tells him again and again that he's just not shutting the door right. The store owner goes into a gun shop to buy a gun to kill the locksmith and a successful black couple who are accused of stealing a Lincoln Navigator that they're driving. All of this unfolds, and it's never spoken about, it's never really said, but in all of the glimpses, you find little pieces of Christmas. You see a manger somewhere, a Christmas tree in the town square, a wreath on a door. All of it tells me that the director clearly was making a point. And the point is that all of our lives will crash together. That we as human beings are just fall short of being able to create a perfect world until Jesus comes again and restores us. No utopian dream of humanity will ever completely succeed because we are flawed creatures. Only a perfect God can create a perfect world, and that is what Christmas is about. The child born in Bethlehem of Judea will one day rule over all of creation, and he will rule in perfect love. It's hard to wait for God's perfect timing. But while we do, James reminds us that there are things that we can do. He lifts up the farmers as an example of people who have learned to wait. And in the same way we placed our trust in God, we don't know what the future holds for us. We wait patiently. We wait to follow Jesus' advice. And James tells us to strengthen our hearts. We strengthen our hearts by keeping our focus and by concentrating on what really matters in our life, our relationship with Christ. It is easy, especially this time of year, to get sidetracked and to lose our way. Remember, being busy is not a substitute for being faithful. We have to keep our focus in this season on God's most precious gift. We have to keep our focus on Jesus. We need to let go of everything else and concentrate on what really, really matters. Waiting patiently also doesn't mean doing anything. It doesn't mean that we sit passively in our easy chair, but we are all called to work towards God, the rebuilding and restoration of God's kingdom. Perhaps the real test of faith is, in fact, endurance. Can we continue to live out our faith without becoming discouraged, without arguing and bickering amongst each other as we wait? We wait. We endure difficulties. We suffer. We find it difficult to wait, knowing that the rough times ahead are not God's final answer for us. But we will make it through. And here's the good news of the day. You and I can be part of that perfect kingdom and building of that perfect kingdom. As we spread the good news of God's love for all people, we become part of the creation of the new heaven and the new earth. No other foundation can the kingdom of God be built. Are you ready to do your part today as we wait patiently for the coming of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for helping us along the way, restoring our faith, renewing our love, being with us year after year as we come to this Christmas week and we celebrate your birth, and as we wind our way beyond that and so quickly forget. help us to wait. Amen. I invite you to stand for the first and last hymn, or first and last verse of our hymn 237. Wait but a short time. Go in peace as people of anticipation, as people who work to build the new heaven and the new earth. Go in peace. Amen.